This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Jesus, Father, don't let me stand between you and the people. Let me not be seen. You alone be seen, and your Father. So I receive the things you sent through your angel. Let me serve your people faithful this afternoon. Help me, equip me, and anoint me. I receive blessing to bless the people. I receive grace to impact your people. I receive the things you sent. I receive them. I believe them. I believe you send your angel. I know I receive from him. I receive from this angel that came with us. Help us. I receive it because you said in your word that they are all ministering spirits who are sent to minister for them who will be heirs of salvation. Thank you this afternoon that we will all receive from thee fully everything you have sent. We receive you. We believe in the activities of the throne. We receive help. I receive mercy. I receive grace. The grace and apostleship, even for the obedience of faith. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody shout hallelujah. Amen. Open your Bible quickly. Hallelujah. I have a very simple teaching. I'm preaching this morning. So I just want to believe that the Lord is blessing us. Amen. Hallelujah. It's what is in Jesus. You can talk about Jesus from the externality, but it's extremely difficult to teach Jesus from the internal dimension. Jesus is more on the inside than on the outside. Amen. Let me just read from two chapters. John chapter 20. They all ended with the accomplishment of Jesus throughout his lifetime. So let's see the record of one here. I come to join chapter 20, verse 30. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Hallelujah. It means other books of the gospel, you'll find them there. But not in this book of John. But these signs were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, number one. Command the Son of God. And that in believing, ye might have life through his name. So the purpose of the signs is not for us to stay at the place of the sign and just bask in the blessing of the sign. Signs are powerful. And we can say that the purpose of signs is to generate believing. Believing in what a sent one is bringing, is delivering to people. So that's the purpose of signs. Then chapter 21, also just as it was written, verse 25 is another record also And there are also many other things which Jesus did. Not many other signs, things. There are things Jesus did. Many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That is, if you're going to put in record all the things Jesus did apart from signs, even the world itself will not be able to contain the books, the world. Imagine the whole world. Then it means there are things Jesus did that cannot be numbered. So the first is an account of what he did in the external, and then there is another, the ones which he did on the internal, the ones that are not seen. But this person, as of that time, Apostle John did not know what Jesus did. Or if they had to be written in a book, this one can't contain the books. So you have many books more than what this world can take. So he's talking about something very, very, very of note. You see, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So this book of John is actually the last book of the apostle that he wrote. His epistles came before his gospel. Even though the story of the gospel is actually an occurrence, an account that took place before what he wrote in the epistle. So that as he had matured here to really see, so he saw into what Jesus did on the inside. On the outside, well, because they were still young in faith, they could see the external signs of Jesus, but not what was inside of Jesus. So you can have an idea, what did Jesus do? What are things he did that were not recorded? So the next chapter after John, you see just there is there. The next leaf after John. So the former treatise have I made. The Acts of Apostles was actually a demand from a nobleman called Theophilus during the reign of the Roman Empire, who wanted an account of the works of the apostles, shout hallelujah, and the work of the Holy Ghost, both in the apostles and in the church. So Luke, who was a writer, who wrote the book of Luke, decided to pen down the activity of the Holy Spirit in the apostle from the first one. And the first person is Jesus in chapter 1. As I started the book of apostle, Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our profession. So the apostolic ministry of Jesus was his first account in chapter 1. So he was making the treatise, the work. Have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do. Now Jesus began to do and then teach. So Jesus did some things he taught. He did the things he taught. First of all, Jesus, unlike many of us preacher, we can be given things later, we're able to get it done. And we can preach some things which we have never done before because it comes by inspiration, but not with Jesus. Jesus is all that was different. He would do, then he would teach. So Jesus was already a doer of the things he was teaching. In my life, I have spoken things I have not even grown to because of the anointing, because that's ministry. But that was not with Jesus. Jesus did them. Then later on, he taught them. He did them. Then what happened, sir? He taught them. Until the day he was taken up, he did it until the day. After through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, until the day Jesus was doing things and teaching. He was doing and teaching, not so, until the day. So Jesus was a
Terrific doer. So John now say, if we're going to put in accounts the things he taught. Now, Jesus never taught signs, although did signs. He performed signs, so he didn't teach them. Jesus wasn't teaching people how to work miracles. But Jesus did miracles without teaching people. But the things he taught was believe. So they can get signs done. Most of the people, a lot of people, got their miracles through faith. But Jesus, amen, there were things he couldn't teach. He did, then taught them. But even when he taught them, he didn't open them. Now, Jesus is a terrific teacher who taught people and hide what he was teaching from his listeners. And left them for an age of understanding. And that age commends after that the Holy Ghost came to earth. So that tells us, O Christians, O children of God, there are things God kept for us that are reserved for us that we need to come into, and they didn't start us with them. That tells you that there are still a lot of things you need to know, you need to come into. Is there anybody who is listening to me? So we have reserves in heaven. We have blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the blessings that the Father blessed us with, Jesus received all of them. And not only that, Jesus did all of them. He received and he did them. He was a doer of them. Later on, he taught them. He taught them as parables. He taught them as parables. Imagine a certain man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A certain man be born of water and the spirit cannot enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blew away. Listen, thou hearest the sound, but can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So it is with everyone that is born of the spirit. And the man said, how can these things be? He said, are you not a ruler of Israel? I don't know, the master of Israel, you know not these things? I've just told you earthly things. If I decide to tell you heavenly things, how can you believe? You didn't believe me. I've just taught you earthly things. So there are still more. Yeah, many. So you see the things Jesus did. Jesus did earthly things. Then he taught them. And did heavenly things. Now imagine what Jesus told Nicodemus. He schooled Nicodemus concerning the kingdom. But yet, he didn't give Nicodemus the key. So Jesus taught and did not open it. He opened it and sealed it. So waiting for the time when he will give command that those things should be understood. That chapter 3 of John today, if you call a lot of preachers, they won't be able to hear it. They won't be able to open it. Because they are Jesus' teachings. So Jesus was teaching what he had already done. So Jesus was teaching entrance into the kingdom. That means Jesus had already entered the kingdom. Here on earth, he has entered. In fact, he was in the heavenly dominion. Let's see that John chapter 3. I speak to you earthly things. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, no man hath ascended up to heaven. Now, he's beginning to teach about heavenly things. So, heavenly things, first of all, is about ascending into heaven. Now, this is not rapture. Jesus is talking about our spiritual unseen vocation on earth, that a believer can change, can migrate from earth. And there are provisions to take you up. Hallelujah. It's a design. It's in scripture. It's in scripture. He said, no one shall ascend. So the word ascend, hallelujah, is also came in the book of Psalm. You know, David talked about it, prophesying. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And the world and all that, where? He had founded it upon the sea, established upon the floods. Then who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Don't just ascend, who shall abide or stand in his holy place? Now, this is a prophecy. So, who is this person that shall ascend? Amen. He that hath clean hands. These are secrets. Pure heart. Who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now he shall receive the blessing. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, it was he. Let's see what happened. Then he now said, this is the generation. He made them plural from singular. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. O Jacob, Selah, then lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong, mighty. The Lord mighty in him badly. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, O ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Now you can see. He's from entrance to entrance. From earth to the mountain. From mountain to the everlasting doors. From one entrance. The first entrance is ascension. From earth. The first entrance is what's that? It's a call up. It's a, if you be risen with Christ, set your affection, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things. So many affections are still here. My dear, where your affection is where you are. So where your affection is because your soul is still there. That's what you treasure. Something you treasure. What you value. What you hold there. What you hold there is where we know the position of your soul. God is calling for ascension. From ascending from earth to the mountain. It's possible. Very easy. If Jesus is not giving you the key, you won't see the ladder of ascension. It's possible to ascend from here. And the key is clean hands. Clean hands. Hands that are clean. Pure heart. Clean hands. Pure heart. One who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Not so. Like I said, wherever your soul is, that's where your treasure is. If vanity is your treasure, your soul will dwell in vanity. Not sworn deceitfully. You know, when the Bible says someone is swearing deceitfully, you have reached the zenith of not turning back. You have bounded yourself to something. That's a soul. It's not necessarily when you make your word, no, I swear, no. Swearing is an attitude of the heart. I get a heart who has come into a conclusion and had fully done agreement with a thing. An agreement that is so sure that agreement, there is no coming back from it. There is no going back from it. That's swearing. Swearing. Swear deceitfully. Deceitful, not sincerely. Because every conscience talks to men. Now, come on, your evaluation of your conclusion and the giving of yourself to a thing you know is impure is not on a just ground. You are doing it even because you love it, but not that, because it's good. You are undertaking a life of deceit. You are taking an oath on vanity. And let me tell you, earthly things can make you do that. Earthly things can make you do that. Some people will be in a place of a highly privileged place, and others are being oppressed. And then you turn their fear and turn your back on people who are suffering. And because you are actually milking and draining blood to keep yourself in position. And you see the suffering of people, and they will beckon to you, turn their face to it. There is a deception that have taken hold of you. Even on natural lifestyle, in our community living, people make decisions like that. They go into a place where they turn their back completely on conscience. They sear their conscience with hot iron. They become numb. They become dead. That's an oath. That's an allegiance to something. It's taking an oath of allegiance to that which is evil. You see, the Bible talks them the worker of iniquity. Something that is not right. Something that is it's evil. Something that is not upright. You decided to just say, it will remain like that because it will benefit me throughout my entire life here on earth. And then you transfer that privilege to your 3 generations to come. Some people can plan a whole nation and give it to their 6 generations to come, yet unborn. That's deceit. It's an oath. If God showed you what is in men's heart, many dream heaven as bash because he wanted to help us. Many Hitlers God has killed. Many babies died because God knew where they are coming from. Many abortion, many stillbirth. God understands their intention. They see them. What happened? They killed them. And Satan also killed baby because he knew this baby, they would do devastation to his kingdom. Some of them that survived by the mercy of God. The house I live in, a man came in and told me he had paid money for this house already. I said, to who? He said there was a tenant here he paid the money to. Now the tenant says he's going to give it to the landlord or the care. And the tenant was not walking. He was on wheelchair. Somebody who walk and somebody on the wheelchair who can't move. Are you getting me? The man had flesh walk. But that guy had soul walk. The other one is crippling his soul. The one on the wheelchair is stronger by far. So the attorney or the barrister or someone, the lawyer that signed the contract, later on called me. He said, Reverend, do you see? I said, yes, sir. Don't you hear? You see what happened? Yes, I saw it, sir. Eh? Then when God is dealing with some people, will begin to cry and pray. I didn't mean this man is on his feet. What will happen? If somebody who did evil, why seated? And deceive a full grown man, older than me, believing he owned the same house. The money never got to the landlord. The man packed away and left. How can he trace the man again? It's gone. So when God is helping us at times, we don't know. Can we thank God for mercy? Open your Bible and trust in God for utterance. John chapter 1, amen. Verse 10. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. this world that the Bible says was made by him is not the evil world of Satan. It's just the people who have become the world. Satan's brought in another world into mankind and make sure they had a part in the world. They partook of that world Satan brought. The meaning of the world means the kingdom, that world. World is actually a dome for a dominion. Not so, sir. It's a sphere of reign. That's what they call world. So people can be living in a sphere of reign. The people that were supposed to be in the world of God were in the world that the devil created. So he came unto his own. His own received him not. The whole world received him not. Then he came to his own. He was in the world. The world received him. The world did not know him. He came. It first came to his own. What I mean, cometh. He came into the world, but not directly to the world. He was first of all sent to his own. His own in the flesh. This principle repeats itself again to his own in the spiritual. That is why, so we should be careful when we are his. Because he can come and we may not receive him. It's a principle. Now, you see, when you see one principle occurring somewhere, that principle can be transferred to another generation. So Satan always used the same design to wreak havoc against God. Oh, hallelujah. But as many as received him, to them he gave power. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? Now, he came to the Jews did not receive him. And then he came to Gentiles. They received him. But as many, there is a receiving. Now, to get born again is the beginning, is the background for to receive him. Why did I say it's a background? When you get born again, it's actually a power. God gives you the power to actually receive the Son. So you can be born again, the Son may not be able to declare himself to you because of the things you have received. Now, the place we were betrayed us. We were in the world. But he came to us. He was able to get us born again. He sent men to get us born again. And they watch our progress to know whether it's time for him to come to us. So he sent Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost with his ministry prepared us for to receive him. So I can teach this from the point of the new birth. I can also raise the bar beyond new birth and said, you need to be matured to receive certain things of him, that those who have little strength in the spirit will not be able to take. It's not all believers that can take some things from Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And brethren, could not speak unto you. I could not speak, brethren, to you, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you wheat milk, not wheat meat. For he told you, you were not able to bear meat, neither now yet are ye able. Not so, sir. So that tells us majority in this church, we have more milk believer. So when you look the entire body of children of God in Corinthians church, they are not completely what, sir? So they can see the ratio of the spiritual is lower. There are people who have spiritual there. But when you say the whole church, they are not spiritual. So Paul is dealing with them on the percentage of the ratio of the people respond. So now when you are only able to bear milk and not meat, there are certain things you will not be able to receive. There are things you can't bear, so they won't bring them to you. So they keep certain things back. So when Jesus came to us, when Jesus got us born again, he sent us Holy Ghost. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. But imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, I have many things I can't what, sir? Say to you, let me just what, sir? Keep them. So for how long is Jesus keeping things from the whole church? More than 2,000. There are yet many things Jesus wanted to say to people. But what happens, sir? They can't bear it. So he will postpone it. Work needs to be done for people to come to a place where they can receive certain things of me. To really, 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 really say someone has received Jesus. If you have received Jesus, that's the time Jesus will give you power. What will he give to you, sir? To be what? Now, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him. So we keep receiving until we have received him. We'll keep receiving until it's certified that we have really received him. So you may receive him a bit, but later on you deny him. You can deny him. Now, it means in receiving him, there are things you will deny. Why? Because you are in the world before. You were in the world. The day you got born again, they didn't purge the world. You have a little idea of what the world is. A young believer can't see the world. So there is this initial holiness, purification, which is necessary. It's a sign of an healthy child. That one, you have been purified. At a level. But to get the world completely out of someone, it takes some time. You have to be mature. Why? Because now, there is something about purging. Purging is not the direct confrontation of God to your soul. He has to get you to agree. There is no purging without you allowing it. So you can understand what I say to you. I said the other time that before the world can go, you have to do some denying the world. You need to deny the world first. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. So it means the world did not receive him. He came to his people in the flesh, they did not receive him. Even his people in the flesh, they were worldly. They were also in the world, but only that they were closer to God, nearer to God than we. We were all in the world. The world is actually is a big sphere, it's a big dome. What matters is proximity. Some people are very close to getting out of it, but some people are very deep in it. The Gentiles, we are so deeply immersed in the world. Okay, if they are not of the world, if the Jewish aren't of the world, what of the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus? If they say your father, the brood of viper, where do you get vipers from? not in the kingdom of God. They were even kingpin in the world, those people. Garnished and embellished with religious regalia. So Satan can wear a cassock. Those are the people that killed Jesus. They hated Jesus the most. Even the publicans, the sinners, they liked Jesus. But the righteous men hated him. Demons kept crying, Jesus is the Son of God. Why are you come to come and to torment us? But they were disagreeing with the facts. For demons, oh, thou Son of God. But Pharisees are saying, what happened? You are not your son. For saying that, we are going to kill you. Their heart has gone to be wicked. So as many as received him, to them, he now gave power. He gave them what, sir? To become who? They won't give you that power if they are not sure you have not received Jesus. To be sure that you have received him is the day they certify that you are come to a place where you won't turn back. You won't change again. Then the power will not be withheld from you. They'll certainly commit power to you. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The key here is receiving him. And there is no way you can receive him without releasing something. You must release something. You must deny. You have to let go something. Now the power, the teaching of grace that is prevalent in the church right now is, no matter the sin I have done, the one I am doing, and because I'm born again, the one that I will do, all of them are under the blood. They thought it was a revelation of something, you know, soul, flesh, like to take something and let it suit it itself. A theory that is not scriptural. Now, the working of grace is not to leave you in your deplorable condition. Grace cometh to correct the condition and set you free from your enslavement. Then we say grace is working. You can receive him, not him yet. You can be receiving his extension, not him. You can receive things that will lead to him. You can receive his long stretch of hand. But he has to, first of all, stretch his hand, because he's not sure. When you really see his face, you won't turn back. You know, I believe I want to see you, want to know you, want to want you, because we want to love you, Lord. But Jesus, he said, you don't know me. If I really come out of the hiding and show you my true self, you may hate me. Because you love something else. You love the world. And he sees it in you. But he sees your sincerity. If being led, because we are led into the world. The world is a journey, is a world. And there are yards in the world, miles in the world. The farther you go deep into the world, the more you take distance. And there is no journeying in the world that will not affect your being. So the word repent, that's the first time. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A dominion has come. Repent. To repent means turn. When you turn, begin to make your way for entrance. Can I say something? The kingdom of God is departmentalized. It's in department. You can't receive all of the kingdom, because each dominion has a placement for demands. Is each kingdom realm, there are requirements, there are fulfillment you need to do to enter. For example, let me just show us this principle, chapter 3 of John. Let's see the simple principle. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, okay, you talk about entrance. I will tell you about entrance. First of all, I was talking about seeing. You are not hearing. It's like you are eager to enter. But that's a challenge. Then it means you are interested in entry. Is it enter the second womb? I'm talking about seeing it. You've not even seen it yet. So the code for entering kingdom at all to start with is to be born of water and of the Spirit. Is to be born, then you will be born again. You will enter into the kingdom. But born again is to see, entrance. See means discern. To be able to differentiate it from everything called kingdom. Because the kingdom that you are in, called the world, has actually blinded your eyes not to see anything. Only that's fair, you see. And the sight that the world gave is not generous to discern. What is not generous is not to give complete sight to those who are under it. The sight was done to keep people in bondage. So it's not an old son discernment about the dominion there, because it's a lying kingdom. No liar would tell his subject truth of himself. Because there are things you'll be keeping away so that you not discover him or her, and then you ask for freedom. So Satan is lying with the kind of dominion he has brought on mankind. So you will never know the world. You can love it, but you will never know it in full. That's why they call God true. True God. God will make sure he shows you everything about the parameters of his dominion. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth. You must have discernment to know what you are really entering. It is Satan that brings people in, lying to them. Because he's a lying God. They call him the God of this world. He's a liar. He's preying on people. Satan feeds on his subject to live. He drains the blood of his subject. But rather, God gives the blood of himself so that his subject can live and prosper. God sits on the throne as a giver, not a taker. If God is taking anything from you, anything God takes from you is not your own. I'm going to mark my word, anything he wants to take from you is not your own. Your child is not what you own. When he wants to take Isaac from Abraham, he wasn't willing to kill Isaac. He wanted detachment. He wanted separation. They separated Abraham from Ur of Mesopotamia, Ur of Chaldees. Later on, Abraham was separated from Lot. After some time, Abraham was separated from Ishmael. Later on, Abraham was separated from even Isaac that God promised. So there are things God gives to you that they are not your own. So what God gave to Abraham was the promise. So Isaac is just a means to being blessed. So finally, Abraham, after offering Isaac, and God decided to, God did not end up killing Isaac. What God wanted from Abraham is lay Isaac down. Take Isaac away from the position where Isaac was. Take him away. I want something else. Then God say, okay, I now know you are ready for me. You are ready for me. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply what? So what they wanted to give him was seed. Not Isaac. Because in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God ended up handing over the seed. There are many things God wants to give to us. So any privilege you have on earth, anything God allow you to have, don't let it stand in the place. Out of what? It's routing its seed. And make sure the seed stay. Because as many as receiving. So I want you to see the time it took for Abraham to receive him. How long, sir? 25 years, 100 years. 25 years, Isaac was born. He was 75 years. 25 years. Isaac was 15 years or 16. He was a lad. So he must have been how many years? Close to 40 before he could be able to receive. So it wasn't just one day. Then God came in and said, in blessing, I will bless you. So you can see God leads us until we are ready. And the Father is a loving Father. He's patient. Neither Satan has got everything mixed up. And he has brought pollution and misinterpretation and scattered order in the spirit and weakened hearts. You know, another God will say, it's too much what they've done to man. Let me give up my hope on man. Because no matter the depth, no matter the pit of hell, man's soul had traveled. I will go there and raise him up and raise him high and bring him up to the mountain. It took him from the pit of Mesopotamia, Chaldean realm, and Abraham walking to the Canaan land. Later on, Abraham went back to pit called Egypt. You know, Egypt is down. God took him out. You know, he didn't spend long time in Egypt. God made sure he took him out of Egypt. At times when we fall in our thought into Egypt, at times your thought goes down to Egypt because you think Egypt is the answer. Egypt is like an alternative line provision for human soul. May we not go down to Egypt. May we not think Egypt. May you be progressive in your thought. The same farmer came to the land of Canaan, and Isaac, the son of Abraham, wanted to go down to Egypt, and God says, stay in the land and you will prosper. Sir, he stayed in the land. He progressed. He prospered and moved forward. Hallelujah. And Abraham sowed in that land and received the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, went forward, grew until he became very great. I just find your spot and stay there. Don't migrate with noise. You know what we call japa in Nigeria? Japa, ja means break. Then pa. Pa means you will never turn back again. At last. Japa, that is, then when you have ja, then pa, kill. Kill going back. So we'll leave this godden Nigerian bad country. So I mean, when they are in the plane, they will begin to accuse Nigeria and curse it. Hey, me. Go back to that useless place. No going back again, no. Because I have what, my brother? I've decided. Why some people are in the plane, they will begin to, yeah, my luck, we only got to go to the ah! They will be speaking in tongues, saying we are not coming back. I don't go turn back again. I'm not turning back. But God is laughing inside you, looking at you. He's waiting for you. They will land there. They will not call, besides everybody at home. They will frustrate your enterprise. It's blessing to return you home. It's if God loves you. I believe in God's leading. To some of you, Nigeria can be your country that you need to get out from to a land that I will show you. Check the template of the spirit for you. When I see some of my children, I know you will travel. I just know. I just don't know, but I know. I called two boys. I said, one of you will travel. I said, you. I perceive you want to travel. Then the other one started smiling. I said, why are you smiling? He said, I'm his friend. I know, sir. I said, I just need somebody who wanted to travel. I said, let's go. I said, you, I'm done with you. So I now met the other one. I said, you don't look like somebody who will try. He said, never him. He understood his template. It's there ingrained in your spirit. You know it. As you're here, it's gone to your head. But I'm not going anywhere. If you are already settled and when they want to move you, you will know. Not can awoken a thought later and say, actually, I want you to go. And then when you are going, you are not going there to go and say, I'm making money. We don't move anyhow. We Christians move not because of food, not because of clothing. We move because of kingdom. It's dominion that takes us away from geographical relocation because of dominion. Because geography is important. Earthly plane is important. Lands. Are you seeing these lands? Nigeria, anywhere. They are important. And where God knows which land will work for you. I'm very particular about the systematic movement per time. When you are entering the kingdom of God, the more of kingdom that you gain, the more denial you have done. So when you are denying the world, you are denying the kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of the devil. And when you deny, you are able to deny a state, a point. Because with each point is the resolution of relinquishing certain ownership. There is nobody in the kingdom of darkness that does not own something. Even if you are poor physically, you own more than someone who has money outside. Your wealth is your will. I want us to see, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom. Verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Is not all who say unto me, Lord, 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 that shall enter into the kingdom. There's an herald I sense in my spirit that is echoing. And I perceive it's not just echoing in my heart. It's actually the agenda, the sounding of a trumpet from the throne of God concerning an agenda that ought to be taking place on earth. God is saying to me, now, Christians should be entering his kingdom. A certain man be born of water and of the Spirit. So Matthew chapter 7 says, it's not all those who say unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall now enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not all those who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but they that do it. There is no entrance without doing the will of my Father, which is in heaven. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus was doing something. So miracles is not what Jesus eat. Jesus was eating wheat. Jesus was an eater of meat. And yet I have another meat which you know not. It means the disciples didn't know a meat Jesus was doing, was eating. So they knew the miracles, but they didn't know. They're not seeing another doing. Jesus was doing something which is not clear. Then Jesus spoke to them, you don't know it. And said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. It means they didn't see what he was doing. And he didn't care to explain to them because they can't grasp it. To be able to explain it, that chapter 1, after Jesus commanded them, stay, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they now, before he goes, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? It means that they don't understand something about that kingdom. When therefore we are come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, and ye, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You see that the first baptism of Jesus is Holy Ghost. Then the next one is going to be fire. Acts chapter 2 was Holy Ghost. But there's another baptism called fire. For the sanctuary to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So they need Holy Ghost for the kingdom of the God on earth. So in kingdom, there is earthly dimension. There is also heavenly. Earthly, heavenly. So what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus was to enter into the kingdom of God on earth. Because the kingdom can be entered here. But the kingdom of God in heaven, you have to ascend. How do you ascend? It's by one principle. Immediately you enter into the kingdom, you are now born of the Spirit. Your soul. Say, my soul has been born of what, sir? It becomes spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Can you tell me what is born of the flesh? What is born of the flesh is this world. It's a man that is of this world, that's carnal man, is birth. So Satan's womb is flesh. Satan has nothing to give but flesh. Satan has fallen. There's no way Satan can give back to a spirit. When I mean flesh, I'm not saying physical flesh. Somebody who will be carnal. That's all Satan can do. Satan decided to leave God and he wanted to do things. By the time he began to do things, he was doing the wrong one. Satan also has turned angels to flesh. He reduced them. They are sensual. They are also carnal. What I mean carnal, not like your own carnality. It's of the strata of heaven. They are carnal men. Carnal angels. That's why they cannot give anything outside carnality. Satan can't bring anything to you. Look at the kingdom of this world. He showed to Jesus bread. Pinnacle of the temple. He doesn't have any other things to offer. He can't offer you salvation. How bankrupt and how poor that Satan is. Hello, the message of the kingdom isn't an ordinary message. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel and I say unto you, must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listed, that heareth the sound thereof. But you cannot tell where it cometh and whither it's going. So is everyone. That is what. So everyone that is born of the Spirit cometh like the wind. And is going also like the wind. So immediately you are born of the Spirit. You are coming from the Spirit. No one's spirit will give a coming. It's coming. When you are coming from the Holy Spirit, you are going somewhere. You are programmed to go somewhere. Heaven. When winds are released, they move up. That's how you ascend to heaven. So Jesus taught us what he did. Hallelujah. So while Jesus was on earth, they birthed Jesus with water and the Spirit. And then Jesus ascended to the fire. He ascended to heaven. Jesus ascended to the mountain. Jesus did not allow his heart to be unclean. Jesus maintained a pure heart. It was trying on all points, yet without sin. It is we that when we are ascending, the debris inside us will be removed. They will purge our sins. I said they will purge our sin. They will clean my hand. I love that word, to clean your hand. Not so. And purify your heart. A pure heart person, when you have a pure heart, you are ascending. Because a pure heart are they who will see God. So what is a pure heart destiny is? It's ascension. So you're on your way to seeing God. So you don't see God here. You go to where God can be seen. That's why you come when the wind births you. The Holy Ghost, the mighty, the mother wind is the Holy Spirit. The mother wind with the Holy Spirit. So when you enter into the Holy Ghost, because the kingdom is in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will brood over you until your soul is born. When the soul is born, he ceases to be carnal. He has become spirit. Many souls are not wind. There is a stack of meat moving on the street. So there is a convertible. The DNA of some soul. Satan knows how to engine people. So he can take a soul and make a soul his child. His inheritance. So, son, what is called sin? Sin is more than just character flaws. Sin is a state of persons. The word flesh is an estate gain by reason of disobedience. The word flesh is a promise of the devil. It's a person. No matter how far we have gone, God will go the distance to call us back. We will return from being flesh to become spiritual. Imagine solid being to a windy being. Solid being to wind. Visible being to an unseen being. So it means your soul can turn from being sighted by the eye of evil spirit to an invisible man. It means everybody who has entered the kingdom is no longer seen. They become wind. Only that you'll be hearing the sound when you are coming. In the realm of the spirit. So when they are coming, now it's not there, but maybe seven of them is coming. They are men, but they are not just ordinary men. Men is, they are men in their body that are no longer seen. They have become invisible. So what God wants to give to you is to make you invisible. If earthly dominion can make you win, what of that one in heaven? Complete spirit. Full spirit. God can do that. That is the promise in the gospel. A pastor should not rejoice because in your church people are buying beautiful cars. That's nothing to the devil. It's not an achievement. Because you have a big church tomorrow, you are planting another one next tomorrow. I believe in big church. If the people are going to be healthy. You know, when you have a big church, it's not a name. You have a big job. If you have a 500, it's five to make 100 become wind. Do you know what you will go through? Even when you have 10 people, to turn them from flesh to wind is a hell of a job. Those 10 will break your back. Some of them will make you regret. Just 500. Some people say they want to have 10,000. The bigger the flock, the bigger the trouble. It's not for shining. It's a cross. If you want to really pastor people, it's not to pray for their sicknesses and diseases. It's to take the invisible part of them and change it and give it a destiny. When you are really doing a pastoral one, there are shepherds and there are shepherds. What will change the landscape of the whole earth is God is going to raise certain shepherd who will pastor the inward man. They will pastor the unseen aspect of you. They will have the power of Jesus to turn souls to righteousness. So true pastors are stars. So the intention is to raise stars that can turn many unto righteousness. For they that shall be wise are shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. To be wise is to be saved. Don't just get saved, turn. You have another ability where you're able to use your salvation and give it to the other. So you saw what Jesus did. Jesus did the will of God. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus also was entering kingdom. If Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. So Jesus says, they that do the will of my Father, because his Father sent him. If Jesus did the Father's will, it means Jesus was entering the kingdom. If Jesus was doing the will, it means Jesus was a will doer. All that Jesus did on earth was who? Was the will of God. So it means all that Jesus taught was the kingdom of God. What he was doing and teaching. Acts chapter 1. The former teachers have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up after true Holy Ghost had commanded him unto the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed many infallible proofs after his passion, being seen of them 40 days. It means all that he was teaching is the kingdom. After Jesus was raised, he was still saying them. That's the message. He was still saying them. He was still teaching them. He was teaching them. He was saying them. So you have seen that doing the will is entering into the kingdom. You do the will to a degree, you are in the dominion. Because there are wills, not one. Good will, acceptable will, perfect will. Good kingdom, acceptable kingdom, perfect kingdom. Good will, good kingdom. When you're entering into the kingdom first hand, you enter into the good will of God. Then acceptable unto God. There is a dominion that is acceptable. Meaning it is from that dominion God can accept people into his own sphere, which is the realm of perfection. So in the kingdom, there is a realm of perfection. Amen. I call it perfect kingdom. Amen. And that's the kingdom which cannot be moved. Yeah. So that's what being made perfect. It's for a dominion. It's the demand of a kingdom. Yes, when Jesus was on earth, not so, yes, learning obedience by the things which he suffered. Learn he obedient by things which he suffer and being made perfect. So to be perfect means Jesus fulfilled all the requirement of the kingdom. And Jesus learned the kingdom. What is that? Perfect. When Jesus said, be ye perfect as your what, sir? So that tells you the Heavenly Father is the owner of the kingdom. He's the kingdom, he's the one. So that king is perfect. That's what it means, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That your Heavenly Father is perfect and is shown in his kingdom. Your Heavenly Father is a king and runs the governance of perfection called righteousness. When you come to the Father, hallelujah, he can never fail, because his flow, his authority, the structure of his dominion is perfect. It's righteousness. the Father's kingdom. God is giving us so much grace. These are the people who are not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. But they are born of God. So we see the three kingdoms. In our going to perfection, let us go unto perfection. Not so he was talking to the Hebrew Christian chapter 6. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That is, leave the principles of the doctrine of the acceptable. Let us go unto perfection. Not laying again. Laying means throwing down. You know, when you are laying foundation, you are throwing something down. Bam! Not laying again. The foundation. We are not supposed to be throwing stones down. Don't lay foundation. You're supposed to what, sir? Don't dig the sand because you're already dug and something, you're already high. You're committing a sacrilege against the building. You're supposed to go up and then it's okay. You want to dig the foundation. The building will collapse. It's already built. Just go up. So go up. You have reached the place where you can be accepted. This church, the Hebrew church, has gotten to a place of the acceptable. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Those messages were awesome. Faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Let us go unto perfection. Let us go. Go. Let us. So they were telling the Hebrew church, go, all of you, move, go, go, go unto perfection. They were telling them, go unto perfection. Then I said, we don't want to go to perfection. Because Spirit was warring with them. And they wanted to do something. They want to go back from the mountain. They have reached Mount Zion. He told them, you are come unto Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. So the church journeyed to heaven. Imagine after you have gotten to heaven in your soul and say you want to go back. An innumerable company of angels, general assembly, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, you have come there. Unto God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. They have gotten to a place of opportunity where they can be written in heaven. So they are gathered around the mountain. They are around the mountain. They are at the mountain. They have gotten to the mountain. So to go to perfection is climb to that mountain of perfection. On top of it is where perfections begin. Mount Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection meet you, God at shine. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temptress round about him. Now, who is this our God that will come? It's our Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus in Hebrew chapter 1 is also God. It will come because God wants to shine to us from Zion. Now he was telling the Hebrew church, our God shall come. Chapter 10 of book of Hebrew. They've gotten to Zion. They became weary. And then he told them, he that shall come will come. Yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall what? Live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have what, sir? Our God shall come and will not tarry. Because God has chosen Zion for the perfection of beauty. It's not that God is going to shine to Zion particularly. There is a ministry on Zion. there is a shining right above where? Listen, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God outshine. Now, I want us to see some other verses of scripture. The adversaries, Ezekiel 28, they said something concerning him. How many of you know that he was on Zion? He was on Zion before he fell. So he knew Zion. He knew the coordinates. He understands the principles that guided. He was on Zion. That's why he was perfect in beauty. Not only that, if he was perfect in beauty, he also had beautiful feet. The Bible says, you walk up and down in the midst of the stones of Zion. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that cover. I have said this so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst. Where? So stones of fire is Zion. I love the word walk. Now, what are the stones of fire? In Hebrew chapter 12, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The next thing is, you know what Zion is made up of? The first thing they mention is one to an innumerable company of angels. These are not cherubims. These are seraphims. They are the one who congregate together to form Zion. And these angels are stones. You know, Peter said, you Christian too, you are lively stone. Kind stone. So God said to Lucifer, son of the morning, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. I said this so. You are upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down. Where? In the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity. So he was created to administer ministry to angels. Man was not made then. So when you talk about Zion, Satan walked up and down on. It's not in Israel. That one is too small for Satan. And if it is a past tense, it means it's a region that had existed even before creation of the earth. So he was walking up and down. That tells you he also had some kind of a beautiful feet. If his heart is garnished with perfection, you're perfect in beauty. He said, you were perfect in all thy ways. Thou wast perfect, in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Meaning, what was he giving to Zion? Perfection. So we saw his ways on the mountain. He was supposed to cover the mountains with his ways. I perceive he was a teacher of light on the mountain. It was necessary for the stones of fire so that service can be well done. That's an high priest mandate. An high priest is a light giver, not so. The job of an high priest in the sanctuary is to trim the lamp. Can you tell me what the sanctuary is? It's a place of burning. So Lucifer was in the place of burning. So what is he doing, sir? He's ministering light to them, to burning ones. So he needs to shine perfection to the burning ones. Now, the issue is different from ours. To man, they give us perfection to upgrade us, for us to move us to the next level. And we pierce the veil to see God. But there, his own ministry is to appreciate them, but they remain in the tabernacle. Because they've already been made so. They were not being upgraded. They were doing their estate. Isaiah 52 verse 7. Let's see. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. So one was a beauty. Beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring. So something makes the feet beautiful. What makes the feet beautiful? Salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So salvation is a work of beauty. So salvation is perfection. Salvation is what you call a perfect beauty. So when you say somebody who is saved, he glides without obstruction. Somebody who glides seamless. You can't correct how he's doing. So when you come to beauty, oh, he give me beauty for ashes. So that word beauty for ashes is salvation. For ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what they appoint to them that mourn in Zion. When God begins to walk in people, literally begin to vex them with a vexture of perfection. So that they might be called the tree of righteousness, the Lord planted them. To be saved is to be intact in flawlessness. That's beauty. When you see somebody who is beautiful, so salvation is not just security. Yeah. It's an ability that manifests itself in gliding above death graciously, yeah. Effortlessly. You can never tell me that the Lord was not beautiful. Look at Jesus. His move, his nature, the things he did, the things he does. The way he saves sinners. Even the way he heals the sick. Even healing the sick. He's a man of salvation. Now, salvation is characterized by beauty. Loading you with beauty. So, listen. A soul becomes ugly outside salvation. What is ugliness? Ugliness is actually offending the protocols. Breaking rules unknowingly. Somebody will just enter into a place and will begin to break rules. That tells you there is something wrong. When somebody is not well arranged in the spirit, when you have not been saved to the uttermost, saving me is blessing me with beauty. It's not just getting born again. When you are saved, angels will look at you with admiration. Wow. Imagine saving you beyond angels. Salvation is very pulling and attractive. Nobody will see salvation and not want to become it. When salvations appear, you want to be like that. What is this? A time is coming, save the people. Their nature will preach to the world. Yeah. Not what they are saying. Yeah. You can be shouting on the top of your voice and people are not changing. Just your presence and the way you do things, the way you get things done, convert the people. Change the people. When the message become a person, not one, not the mouth. That high messenger. A messenger will not need to speak before he will begin to minister. Just by being seated, people will notice something. This person is flawless. Hello, when you talk about flaw, when you find flaw with something, it's got shade, it's got irregularity, it's got stain. Without fault. Unblameable, unrebookable, reprovable, before him in his sight. Therefore are they without fault before the throne. He said, and their mouth was found no guile. They are without fault. To be without fault before the throne of God. What a high standard. It's possible. By God showing us mercy, bringing things here that will make souls so beautiful. When God trained souls to be saved. You know, iniquity, Satan trained people to become iniquity thing. Not so. The same way. So you can see why Satan was so dangerous. See what he was doing to Zion. At the beginning when he was okay. He's got wisdom. Perfect in beauty. He's a fool of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. You sealess up the psalm. Foolness. Thus saith the Lord to the king of Tyrus. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the psalm. You must seal up the psalm. Then perfect where? Hallelujah. Full of wisdom. And perfect in beauty. The psalm. Say the psalm. The psalm is his fullness. So from the bottom to the neck is the psalm. But he's got a seal right on the psalm. Meaning he's also the covering of the psalm. He said to his fullness is an head attached. So God gave him an head for his fullness. God attached head to his fullness. That's why it's unprecedented when it comes to wisdom. To be full of wisdom is to seal your wisdom, is to perfect, cap it, make it a capstone. Give him a capstone so you can be a fullness, you can be a bottle without an head. Your wisdom can spill. But they cap the wisdom. They seal it up. Look at this dangerous thing now fair. Iniquity was found in him. No wonder he was able to shine beauty. He was perfect in beauty. To be perfect is beyond just being full. To be perfect is to be crowned. Is to have mastery. Is to have an air that covers the seals. And the word was made flesh. Dwell among us. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Is full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him, cried saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. And of his fullness have all we receive. And grace. This is still his fullness. This is not his seed. We will receive his fullness. Yay! What is his fullness? Grace for grace. Just getting grace and topping it and topping it. Topping it and feeling it. Just getting grace. Grace. I love this. No man had seen God at any time. And of his fullness for the law. This is where we are talking. The law was given by Moses. The grace and truth came by who? So if the law was given by Moses... So they are talking in terms of law. Grace and truth also is law. Not so sorry, word and spirit. So the word of God is actually the first law. Then the second one is what, sir? By the reason of the last law that excelleth, which is spirit. So grace and truth, they are the word and spirit. Came by Jesus. Honestly speaking to you, you cannot see God without them. You cannot see God without them. No man can see God. Has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Who is full of grace and truth. So what came by Jesus? The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus. For a long time, this verse, there's a way it sounded in me. Then I now knew the word law, the grace and truth that came by Jesus. These are two prophets of two different generations. Deuteronomy, or Acts of Apostle, Moses said, a prophet like unto me will your Lord God raise. The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, him you shall hearken. So unto me, meaning he's going to be a lawgiver. Now, what is the characteristic of a lawgiver? How can you tell a lawgiver? It's by one attitude demonstrated in the wilderness. The lawgiver takes you to where you will make the covenant. So the lawgiver, go up to the mountain and stay there. Then come down to give the law. When Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he do, every one of you? He's receiving. He has received them. And what does he want to do to us? He wants to come to us and give them. So Satan knew that Jesus has gone up and for him to come down. Moses went up. Before he came down, people began to roar around and play so that the law would not be given. Acts of Apostle. And he shall send Jesus, whom heaven must receive. Not so. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus is already gone to heaven. So they should be waiting for Jesus to be sent. It's not the coming of Jesus to come and take people from here. This is a ministry. To send Jesus, meaning Jesus is an apostle of the throne directly. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. Now he's already received in heaven, but he needs to be sent unto the times of the restitution. Restitution is restoration of all things. There are things God wants to give. God wants to give things. Amen. And is against the things for things Satan took. Satan stole all things from men. So God gave all things to men. What did Satan stole? He stole life. Everything from man. And God gave all things to man. Why? What was stolen, they found the thief. And according to the law of restitution, when a thief is found, he will pay sevenfold. Satan stole from man. He can't give those things back. He has perverted them. God said, okay, no problem. We are found in that is the thief. I will stand as a restitutor of the things that were stolen. So God put himself in debt to pay man. And when a thief is found, he will pay sevenfold. Not the same thing he stole. Oh my God. To a sevenfold degree. So what God is giving to us is more than heaven. Things sevenfold higher than what was stolen. Things higher than the heavens is what God is going to give. And to give that, just to give that to us as a Christian, then they will have to send the person who will give them. So Jesus had all things here. Jesus went to heaven. Jesus received all things on earth. Now, Jesus went to heaven. What did he go to do in heaven? He went to heaven to receive all things. After he has received all things here, what he received there and what he received here, Pastor, are two different things. He received all things to become all things. Then he received all things there to be able to share all things. And to also show the redeeming nature of God, not giving up on us. No matter how far we have gone, God will go the distance to call us back. We will return from being flesh to become spiritual. Imagine solid being to a windy being. Solid being to wind. Visible being to an unseen being. So it means your soul can turn from being sighted by the eye of evil spirit to an invisible man. It means everybody who has entered the kingdom is no longer seen. They become wind. Only that you'll be hearing the sound when you are coming. In the realm of the spirit. So when they are coming, now it's not there, but maybe seven of them is coming. They are men, but they are not just ordinary men. They are men in their body that are no longer seen. They have become invisible. So what God wants to give to you is to make you invisible. If earthly dominion can make you win, what of that one in heaven? Complete spirit. Full spirit. God can do that. That is the promise in the gospel. Now, a pastor should not rejoice because in your church people are buying beautiful cars. That's nothing to the devil. It's not an achievement. Because you have a big church tomorrow, you are planting another one next tomorrow. I believe in big church. If the people are going to be healthy. You know, when you have a big church, it's not a name. You have a big job. If you have a 500, praise God. Is 5 to make 100 become wind? Do you know what you will go through? Even when you have 10 people, to turn them from flesh to wind is a hell of a job. Those 10 will break your back. Some of them will make you regret. It's not for shining. It's a cross. A lot of people are not yet pastoring. They're only gathering people for fame. They don't go into the problem of those people. If you want to really pastor people, it's not to pray for their sicknesses and diseases. Is to take the invisible part of them and change it and give it a destiny. When you are really doing a pastoral one, there are shepherds and there are shepherds. What will change the landscape of the whole earth is God is going to raise certain shepherd who will pastor the inner man, the inward man. They will pastor the unseen aspect of you. They will have the power of Jesus to turn soul to righteousness. So true pastors are stars. So the intention is to raise stars that can turn many unto righteousness. For they that shall be wise are shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. To be wise is to be saved. Don't just get saved, turn. You have another ability where you're able to have use your salvation and give it to the other. So you saw what Jesus did. Not so. Jesus did the will of God. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus also was entering kingdom. If Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. So Jesus says, they that do the will of my Father, because his Father sent him. If Jesus did the Father's will, it means Jesus was entering the kingdom. If Jesus was doing the will, it means Jesus was a will doer. All that Jesus did on earth was the will of God. So it means all that Jesus taught was the kingdom of God. What he was doing and teaching. Give me Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Let's see the next verse. Until the day that he was taken up, after true Holy Ghost had commanded him unto the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed certain life in passion, many infallible proofs after his passion, being seen of them 40 days. What was he saying? It means all that he was teaching is the kingdom. This message of the kingdom no go disappear from your mouth. It won't disappear from your mouth. After Jesus was raised, he was still saying them. That's the message. Is that not the message? He was still saying them. He was still teaching them. So you have seen that doing the will is entering into the kingdom. You do the will to a degree, you are in the dominion. Because there are wills, not one. Good will, acceptable will, perfect will. Good kingdom, acceptable kingdom, perfect kingdom. Good will, good kingdom. When is the entering into the kingdom first hand? You enter into the good will of God. Then acceptable unto God. There is a dominion that is acceptable. Meaning it is from that dominion God can accept people into his own core sphere, which is the realm of perfection. So in the kingdom, there is a realm of perfection. I call it perfect kingdom. And that's the kingdom which cannot be moved. So that what being made perfect, it's for a dominion, it's the demand of a kingdom. When Jesus was on earth, not so, he was made perfect by the things which he suffered. Learn he obedient by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became what? So to be perfect means Jesus fulfilled all the requirement of the kingdom. And Jesus learned the kingdom. What is that? Perfect. When Jesus said, be ye perfect as your what, sir? So that tells you the Heavenly Father is the owner of the kingdom. So that king is perfect. Amen. Is perfect. And is shown in his kingdom. Your Heavenly Father is a king. And runs the governance of perfection. Called righteousness. When you come to the Father, hallelujah, he can never fail. Because his flow, his authority, the stretch of his dominion is perfect. It's righteousness, the Father's kingdom. God is giving us so much grace today. Process prudent here. Thank you. These are the people who are not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. But they are born of God. So we see the three kingdoms. I just want to say something here. In our going to perfection, let us go unto perfection. Not so, he was talking to the Hebrew Christian chapter 6. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That is, leave the principles of the doctrine of the acceptable. Let us go unto perfection. Not by laying again. Or laying means throwing down. You know, when you are laying foundation, you are throwing something down. Bam! Not laying again. The foundation. We are not supposed to be throwing stones down. Don't lay foundation. You're supposed to what, sir? Don't dig the sand because you're already dug and something, you're already high. You're committing a sacrilege against the building. You're supposed to go up and then you say, okay, you want to dig the foundation. The building will collapse. It's already built. Just go up. So go up. You have reached the place where you can be accepted. The Hebrew church has gotten to a place of the acceptable. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Those messages were awesome. Faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Let us go unto perfection. So they were telling the Hebrew church, go, all of you, move, go unto perfection. Then I say, we don't want to go to perfection. Because the Spirit was warring with them. And they wanted to do something. They want to go back from the mountain. They have reached Mount Zion. He told them, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. So the church journeyed to heaven. Imagine after you have gotten to heaven in your soul and say you want to go back. An innumerable company of angels, general assembly, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, you have come there. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men, made perfect. Not so. They have gotten to a place of opportunity where they can be written in heaven. So they are gathered around the mountain. They are around the mountain. They are at the mountain. They have gotten to the mountain. So to go to perfection is climb to that mountain of perfection. On top of it is where perfections begin. Mount Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of meet you, God at shine. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temptrous round about him. Now, who is this our God that will come? Is our Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus in Hebrew chapter 1 is also God. He will come because God wants to shine to us from Zion. Now, he was telling the Hebrew word, Hebrew church, our God shall come. Chapter 10 of book of Hebrew. They've gotten to Zion. They became weary. And then he told them, he that shall come will come. Yet a little while, not so, sir. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall what? Live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have what, sir? Our God shall come. I see that our God shall come and will not tarry. Because God has chosen Zion for the perfection of beauty. It's not that God is going to shine to Zion particularly. There is a ministry on Zion. There is a shining right above where? Listen, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shine. The adversaries, Ezekiel 28, they said something concerning him. He was on Zion before he fell. So he knew Zion. He knew the coordinates. He understands the principles that guided Zion. He was on Zion. That's why he was perfect in beauty. Not only that, if he was perfect in beauty, he also had beautiful feet. The Bible says, you walk up and down in the midst of the stones of Zion. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst. Where? So stones of fire is Zion. Now, what are the stones of fire? In Hebrew chapter 12, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The next thing is, you know what Zion is made up of? The first thing they mention is one. To an innumerable company of angels. These are not cherubims. These are seraphims. They are the one who congregate together to form Zion. And these angels are stones. You know, Peter said, you Christian too, you are lively stone. I love that song. Ye are going to the city of stones, city of the pillow who are serving the throne. Ken Hagin do faith confession, but this present truth, we don't do confession. You do it. How? Your song. Those your songs are your confession. You are confessing, I am becoming like stone, city of the people. It's your confession. That's your profession. Ezekiel 28. So God said to Lucifer, son of the morning, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. I said this so. You are upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down. Where? In the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity. So he was created to administer ministry to angels. Man was not made then. So when you talk about Zion, Satan walked up and down on. He's not in Israel. That one is too small for Satan. And if it is a past tense, it means a former, it's a region that had existed even before creation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth. So he was walking up and down. That tells you he also had some kind of a beautiful feet. If his heart is garnished with perfection, he said, you are perfect in beauty. He said, you were perfect in all thy ways. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Meaning he was given to Zion perfection. So we saw his ways on the mountain. He was supposed to cover the mountains with his ways. I perceive he was a teacher of light on the mountain. It was necessary for the stones of fire so that service can be well done. That's an high priest mandate. An high priest is a light giver. Not so. How many of you know that one? The job of an high priest in the sanctuary is to trim the lamp. Can you tell me what the sanctuary is? It's a place of burning. So Lucifer was in the place of burning. So what is he doing, sir? He's ministering light to them, to burning ones. So he needs to shine perfection to the burning ones. Now, the issue is different from ours. To man, they give us perfection to upgrade us, for us to move us to the next level. We pierce the veil to see God. But there, his own ministry is to appreciate them, but they remain in the tabernacle because they've already been made so. They were not being upgraded. They were doing their estate. Am I being understood? Isaiah 52 verse 7, let's see. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. So when we say beauty, beautiful are the feet of, upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring. So something makes the feet beautiful. Something makes the feet beautiful. What makes the feet beautiful? Salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So salvation is a work of beauty. So salvation is perfection. Salvation is the what you call a perfect beauty. So when you say somebody who is saved, my brother, he glides without obstruction. Somebody who glides seamlessly. You can't correct how he's doing. So when you come to beauty, amen. Or he give me beauty for ashes. So that word beauty for ashes is salvation. For ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what they appoint to them that mourn in Zion. When God begins to walk in people, literally begin to vex them with a vexture of perfection, so that they might be called the tree of righteousness the Lord planted them. To be saved, son, is to be intact in flawlessness. That's beauty. When you see somebody who is beautiful, so salvation is not just security. It's an ability that manifests itself in gliding above death graciously, effortlessly. You can never tell me that the Lord was not beautiful. Look at Pharisee. It envied Jesus, his move, his nature, the things he does, the way he saves sinners, even the way he heals the sick. Even healing the sick is a man of salvation. Now, salvation is characterized by beauty, loading you with beauty. A soul becomes ugly outside salvation. What is ugliness? Ugliness is actually offending the protocols. Breaking rules unknowingly. Somebody will just enter into a place and will begin to break rules. That tells you there is something wrong. When somebody is not well arranged in the spirit, when you have not been saved to the uttermost. Saving me is blessing me with beauty. It's not just getting born again. When you are saved, angels will look at you with admiration. Imagine saving you beyond angels. Sir, salvation is very pulling and attractive. Nobody will see salvation and not want to become it. When salvations appear, am I talking to you? You want to be like that. What is this? A time is coming. Save the people. Their nature will preach to the world. Not what they are saying. You can be shouting on the top of your voice, and people are not changing. Just your presence and the way you do things, the way you get things done, convert the people. Change the people. When the message become a person, not one, not the mouth. That's high messenger. A messenger will not need to speak before he will begin to minister. Just by being seated, people will notice something. This person is flawless. Hello, when you talk about flaw, when you find flaw with something, it's got shade, it's got irregularity, it's got stain, without fault, unblameable, unreprovable, before him in his sight. Therefore, are they without fault before the throne? You see, and their mouth was found no guile. They are without fault for the throne of God. What a high standard. But sir, it's possible. By God showing us mercy, bringing things here that will make souls so beautiful. When God trains souls to be saved. You know, iniquity, Satan trained people to become iniquity thin. The same way. So you can see why Satan was so dangerous. See what he was doing to Zion. At the beginning when he was okay. He's got wisdom. Perfect in beauty. He's a fool of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. You sealess up the psalm. Foolness. Thus saith the Lord to the king of Tyrus. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the psalm. You must seal up the psalm. Then perfect where? Full of wisdom. And perfect in beauty. I love us. The psalm. Say the psalm. The psalm is his fullness. So from the bottom to the neck is the psalm. But he's got a seal right on the psalm. Meaning he's also the covering of the psalm. You get me? He said to his fullness is an head attached. So God gave him an head for his fullness. God attached head to his fullness. It's unprecedented when it comes to wisdom. To be full of wisdom. To seal your wisdom is to perfect, cap it, make it a capstone, give it a capstone, So you can be a fullness, you can be a bottle without an head. Your wisdom can spill. But they cap the wisdom, they seal it up. Look at this dangerous thing now, fair. Iniquity was found in him. No wonder he was able to shine beauty. He was perfect in beauty. Pastors, to be perfect is beyond just being full. To be perfect is to be crowned, is to have mastery, is to have an head that covers the seals. And the word was made flesh, dwell among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He is full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him, cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we receive. And grace, this is still his fullness. This is not his seed. Pastor, sir, we will receive his fullness. What is his fullness? Grace for grace. Not to my pastor. Just getting grace and topping it and topping it, topping it and topping it and filling it. Just getting grace. Grace. And of his fullness for the law. This is where we are talking. This is my message. What's my message? The law was given by Moses. This is the message. But law, the grace and truth came by who? So if the law was given by Moses, so they are talking in terms of law. Grace and truth also is law. Word and spirit. So the word of God is actually the first law. Then the second one is what, sir? By the reason of the last law, the excellent, which is spirit. So grace and truth, they are the word and spirit, came by Jesus. Honestly speaking to you, you cannot see God without them. You cannot see God without them. No man can see God. Has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Who is full of what, sir? Of grace and truth. So what came by Jesus? The law came by who? Was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus. For a long time, this verse, there's a way it sounded in me. Then I now knew the word law, the grace and truth that came by Jesus. These are two prophets of two different generations. Moses said, a prophet like unto me will your Lord God raise. The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Him you shall hearken. So unto me, meaning he's going to be a lawgiver. Now, what is the characteristic of a lawgiver? How can you tell? A lawgiver, I'll tell you, is by one attitude demonstrated in the wilderness, Pastor. The lawgiver takes you to where you will make the covenant. So the lawgiver, go up to the mountain and stay there. Then come down to give the law. When Jesus was raised from the dead, what did he do? Where did he go to? This message is Jesus. What was he doing there? He's receiving. He has received them. And what does he want to do to us? He wants to come to us and give them. So Satan knew that Jesus has gone up and for him to come down. Moses went up. Before he came down, people began to roar around and play so that the law would not be given. Acts of Apostles. And he shall send Jesus, whom heaven must receive. Not so. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus is already gone to heaven. So they should be waiting for Jesus to be sent. It's not the coming of Jesus to come and take people from here. This is a ministry. To send Jesus, meaning Jesus is an apostle of the throne directly. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven, the heaven, must receive. Heaven has received him. Now he's already received in heaven, but he needs to be sent unto the times of the restitution. Restitution is restoration of all things. There are things God wants to give. God wants to give things. And is against the things for things Satan took. Satan stole all things from men. So God gave all things to men. What did Satan stole? He stole life. Everything from man. And God gave all things to man. All things. God gave all things to man. Why? What was stolen, they found the thief. And according to the law of restitution, when a thief is found, he will pay sevenfold. Satan stole from man. He can't give those things back. He has perverted them. God said, okay, no problem. We are found him. That is the thief. I will stand as a, what's that? Restitutor of the things that were stolen. So God put himself in debt to pay man. And when the thief is found, he will pay sevenfold. Not the same thing he stole. Oh my God. To a sevenfold degree. So what God is giving to us is more than heaven. Things sevenfold higher than what was stolen. Things higher than the heavens is what God is going to give. And to give that, just to give that to us as a Christian, then they will have to send the person who will give them. Pastor, not so, sir. So Jesus had all things here. Jesus went to heaven. Jesus received all things on earth. Now, Jesus went to heaven. What did he go to do in heaven? I will tell you. He went to heaven to receive all things. After he has received all things here. What he received there and what he received here are two different things. He received all things to become all things. Then he received all things there to be able to share all things. Now, there are two heavens. In the distribution of things, there are two heavens. Heavenly things are two. Everlasting things and eternal things. So there are all things eternal. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will now be his God and he shall be my son. Now there are those who are his people, not his son. When you receive all things everlasting, you are his people. For to overcome, so that you can be his son. People are sons. A son, here is he who sits on the throne. This by inheritance. You obtain a more excellent name to make him to be God's son of God. Today have I begotten thee. Sit with me on my right hand. Say, all things.
All things.
Let's see all things. I said, Jesus is committed to you, everyone here, to receive all things. So he went to heaven, and God said, sit. Then Peter said, God will send him for the restitution of things. He had sent Jesus Christ, which was preached before unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time they are about to give all things. That's when Jesus will be sent. So when we are not ready for all things, they won't send him. What is the battle on earth right now? The kingdom of darkness. What's the battle? Not making heart ready. Appetite to bring him. Not so. To bring him to come and give us things. all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. This one that the prophets spake are all things of God. You are an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. All things that are of God. There's no way we can get them. I can read them, but I won't get them until it comes before I can be given. I can read them and not get them. You can be reading, you will not get them. To get them is to see them. They are hid in plain sight. Somebody gives you the eyes to see them. Whom heaven must receive until the restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. God wants to give things, but he's in the template of sending his son. If his son, who is seated on the right hand, is not ready to come, or you are not ready for him, he won't come. Someone can hear me teaching and he just doesn't. Okay. All things, somebody will be saying, okay, Jesus will come to come and give what some things. It doesn't matter to him. The person gets home, eat and forget about that. Wakes up and the person is on his duty. All things inside him that Satan has put there is disturbing him. This man Jesus, the law was given. There is something Jesus wants to give. If Moses gave the law, Jesus will also give the law. Jesus has his own law. I want us to read again. For whom heaven must receive unto the times of the restitution of all things. Now when that time is come, what happens? Which God had spoken by the mouth of the holy prophet since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you for your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. It means if we are not hearing him, we should pray to hear him. You can live as a Christian and die. You'll be buried in the ground. Opportunity to hear the Son speak from the throne is gone because he's not yet sent to you. To be able to bring this verse like this and discern it, teach it, you can't do that by the except he gives you the sight. Now, you can't study this and understand this if the owner of the verse isn't speaking it. So you can see the purpose for choosing him is to speak all things. At in these last days is the Spirit of God spoken unto us by his Son. Whom he had appointed, what? Yes. So to speak is for us to hear. And what are we hearing? To who is he speaking to? Us, brethren. Us. We should hear him. So as many as receive him, to them he will give power. You see, all these things he's speaking is to make you a son. This is the power. So the power of sonship is grace and truth. The word of God and the law of God. That's the power. As many as received him, to them he gave power. To become what? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, and the will of man, but of God. So power to become. To become what? Is what Jesus is full of. So people shout grace, grace. So grace is not even a merited favor. Grace is a word. Grace is a thing in God. Grace is a thing in God. Called the word of God. That's grace. The word of God is not letter. You can read this and you don't have the word. You can be reading the Bible and you don't have the word of God. You can read the Bible and the Bible will help you. What differentiates prophets and the people is that the word of God comes to them. So if God spoke by the mouths of the prophet, It means the word came to them, and then they said the word to the people. So the word that came and the word of the Lord came. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Kaiah, the priest. Not so? To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the king Anon of Judah, in the 13 years of his reign. You see, the word chooses the time to come. Word cometh. When word has come, pastor, grace has come. When word is coming, it's okay, the word of God come to me today, the word of God come to you, the word of God come. No, that's not it. You call it season. You say season. So when the word of God come, that word that came can be for 50 years. 100 years. Sir, the word of God came unto Kenneth E. Hagin and taught faith. Why it prospered was because it was for some time. The word was incubated with season and its blessing. The word came. Is there any prophet that the word came to also in the Bible? In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the king Joachim captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Imagine, something was what, sir? Something came from God to them. Bah! Look at that guy. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. So the word of the Lord came in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius king. Is it the word always come during the time of kings? You wonder why? Because the word is a king itself. Came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Hiddo, the prophet, saying. The word was being brought to us, not so. So the New Testament, a man was ordained to give the word and to give the law. Give the word and give the law. I see Jesus doing something now. Jesus is doing something. What is he doing? I see Jesus truing the understanding of grace. He wants people to know it. What is at the back of it? The meaning of it. So that it can be beneficiary to people. Many ministers go into ministry without being sent. They just copy and paste. They see somebody preaching prosperity. You see the person shouting prosperity behind the pulpit. When God brings men to a prophet, the prophet will teach them how to hear. Every prophet cometh with an hearing. All his children will be trained to hear. So that the same word that came to the prophet, a time will come, the word of the Lord will come to them individually so that they can share in the portion of the dominion that the prophet is carrying. One power of a prophet is that they hear. When the word of God cometh to them, they receive it. So the word of God is the solution against the corruption of the devil in a generation. When God is sending his word, his word healed them. And his word delivered them from what? Their destruction. So now, all of you can be hearing the word, but you will hear it the way those who are sent to carry it. First of all, there's a way they will be hearing it. You can be hearing it for the change of character, but they are hearing for the purpose of responsibility. I will boldly say that the word is sent to us, will deliver us, and it will heal them, deliver them from their destructions. Give the word a chance and give the word time. When word cometh, sir, recognizing the word takes time. Often great word that God would send is from generation to generation. But when a generation is blessed with a word that is very great, that word may seem to be slow in bringing deliverance. You know, the word of the Lord came to Jesus. But they didn't receive him. Because the word looks like what, sir? A seed that will never bring profit. That one looks unprofitable to them. God may send you a word that is not addressing your need. Physically touching your need. Because the word of God is intelligent than what you think. A word can be higher than you. You are thinking of need. But the word is seeing where your problem is. The word can discern your root. Rather, the word can be sent to you to unroot your problem from where you are not thinking the problem is. Because the wisdom of the adversary that is against you, you don't know him. Sir, they were thinking of deliverance from the Roman Empire. But they never thought that deliverance was a being that they are not seeing. There is a Roman emperor that they are not seeing. They saw Caesar. They didn't know there is a king over Caesar. That's what Jesus came with. So the Jew refused him. Because some years ago on the TV, I was watching the television. It's just like an argument between a Jew and a Christian man. The Jew quoted scripture, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. Then the Jewish rabbi came up. He said, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't deny him. They know him. They believe he existed. He said, he didn't do anything for us. He came. He didn't do anything for us. Check the messiahs that have come. They deliver us. Is it Jeremiah? Elijah? All of them. Zechariah? They met the need. Jesus didn't do anything for us. He's our brother. One said he's our brother. He didn't do anything for us. They saw Jesus as an impostor. Truly great blindness have happened to the Jewish. You don't know rejection. One of the greatest things Jesus suffered was rejection. His own people rejected him. And said, no problem, go to the Gentiles. I'm taking the message to the Gentiles. We will love him to the uttermost. Sir, the Jews did not know what they have rejected. They don't know who they rejected. The word of the Lord is come to you. When the word comes, grace has appeared. Grace cometh to a generation. A grace has come to a generation. A grace we know nothing about. A grace we need to learn. We need to see the expansivity of this grace, the thickness of it, the firmament the grace has brought. There is a blessing in this grace. There is also knowledge of awareness of deliverance that this grace has brought. A grace has come. You see, this high priest, this man, has things to give. He's got things to give. He will give you grace. He is full of it. Amen. Then you will now know that grace is a spirit. The word of God is a spirit. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. One power of the Son is God's grace. Another power is truth. That's the last power that makes a son. The word is grace. The law is truth. Grace is an enabler. Grace is a gift of entrance. That's why grace builds for you to receive. Able to build you up so that it can give you an inheritance. There are certain things you will never receive if the enabling power is not administered. It's grace. Grace needs to do a work. You are below the blessing. So God sends word to you. Grace builds you up so that you can now receive. You can be at par with what the blessing, actual blessing is. What God wants to give to us is more than our intelligence. We are below it. I say we are actually doers to that thing. No one can rise up to the ladder. No one can climb the ladder. Great grace is a ladder. Grace is the ladder of God to man. There is a download of new economy from the head of the church, from the throne of God, right over your head, right over us. I saw God taking many of you, many people out of the merry clay. They are merry clay. They are low estate. And giving them privilege for admission into being qualified to share in the things Jesus is an heir of. Some things are real, very, very real. These things are so real. Jesus is an heir of the Father. These are not just talk. They are realities. Look at your physical condition. That stare at your face and tell you, God has not solved it. I tell you, forget about that thing. I was raised to look at the things that stares of my face and use them as a stepping stone to receiving things that are high. This is a season of grace. Do you know what God is keeping in stock for you? Don't lose them. Some of you just want to receive immediate solution to your family problems. And God will say, let that family problem be there. I want to give you something higher. In Jesus' time, they didn't make his household rich. Did they? Heaven, open on Jesus. Open your heart for to receive. Now, don't be angry with God. There's a way Satan can blackmail God before you. Anytime Satan is talking so hard and is getting your soul weary, your blessing is nearer. What God wants to give to you is real. Very, very great privileges is opening to people here. We have come into a season, I call it new era. Upon the earth. I will say it boldly. Yes. It has not happened like this for many years. It was a work of power. When the word of God cometh in a generation, it doesn't go. the word of God will be there for a generation. It doesn't go. And wait until another prophet come with another word. Another word. Another grace. Is it God preserve nations by prophet? Because he gives to them the preservative measure. Things. Grace is a thing that sustains a nation. It can sustain a people. When nations were becoming bad, God kept sending grace. The times of Jeremiah was a dangerous season. Israel would have gone. Dangerous. The word of God came, followed them into exile. And the word of the Lord did not finish. It came to Ezekiel later on. And the word of the Lord came unto Daniel. So that the people of God will not perish. All the children of God in the world will not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a time to make people who are perishing to stop perishing. Grace will travel. Grace is for everyone. It's for all men. Which bringeth salvation. It has appeared to you. I say to you, power has appeared to you. Today, we are exterminating laws that are inside spirit. You know, aspiring the strength of spirit. They give laws to us and we're unable to do God's will and finish it. I said, Jesus has come again. I said, Jesus has come again. When Jesus comes, there are things you are doing you don't need to do. Grace is around. Where you are impotent, grace is available. Grace is actually a supply of commodity as against your vacuum. Very soon, and as from now on, you now know what to do. You begin to see an enabling. Is there anybody who is weak in faith? This is the time to be strong in faith. This is the season of giving glory to God. We are going to have testimony of grace. We are going to have testimony of the word. Impossible task being done because the word of the Lord is come. I said the word of the Lord is come. Prophets has to come for many generations. It's just one man we need. He's unchangeable. He's a solution for generations. You don't need to be changing prophet. We don't have one prophet. Moses died. No, God has to raise prophet. For Jesus, there is no substitute. I said, for Jesus, there is no water. I said, for Jesus, there is no water. Because the person that has beaten the dragon is around. Oh, devil has been having a field day. But I tell you, somebody who broke the jaws of death is here. He's come to us. He's come with his gifts. He's come with his blessing. He's come with his grace. I hear the Lord say, those who don't know how to find grace, those who don't know how to get grace, he said, today you have found grace. Today you have found grace. He said, you have gotten grace. You will know how to get grace. You will sense grace. You will smell it. You will know it. You will find it. Because it will come to you. No, you don't struggle to find it. Have you ever seen a prophet crying, "Word, come to me, word, come to me. Word of God, come to me." He said, "The word cometh." They don't pray for the word to come. So they will be doing this, and the word came unto Amos. He said, "I was the gatherer of scammon fruits. I'm not a prophet, neither the son of a prophet." The word decided, "I'm going to go and visit Amos. Some things will come to you. Grace will come to you. I say power will come to you. When you are not even thinking of coming to something, or praying, or fasting, I say things will come to you." Now I'm opening the channels of things happening without you knowing, without you trying to prepare for them. Hello, I'm talking about a gift beyond your preparation. Was Mary praying to give birth to Jesus? Was he praying to give birth to Jesus? A young girl who just wants to marry a man. Then an angel walks in into her and says, "Hey, thou art highly favored." Yeah, that's what grace does. That's what the word of the Lord does. The word of the Lord came unto Mary, and she believed it, and she conceived a child, and it shall be called the Son of the Highest. Was she praying to be chosen? She doesn't even know about the prophecy. I didn't see Mary searching Bible like the Pharisees are doing, where the prophecy will come from. How will it be fulfilled? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. At the law of the appointed time. There is something about time. I said there is something about time and the word of God. When time cometh, he said, when the fullness of restitution of all time is come, he shall send Jesus. There's a mystery about time and fulfillment. You see, there are things that does not leave heaven. But sometimes they don't leave God. If Jesus left Holy Spirit for us to pray it here, he won't come. You don't have that pedigree of that prayer. The person that can pray the Holy Ghost to come here must have received glory, eternal glory. You don't ask God certain things, he won't give it to you. If all of us with prayer power fix 68, 9 years, and praying for 68 years to go and say, "Father, we have been fasting since," said he won't listen to you because you have not come up to him. God told me, "I'm going to take you." I say, "For what?" "I will make you hope to see him." You can't see that being. Jesus is a very high, invisible ego that doesn't come to generations. And he's not perturbed. He waits for the Father to send him. Was Jeremiah praying that the word of God should come to him? He doesn't even want it. Amen. Oh, you are looking for husband. Stop looking for husband. If word of God can come to you, nothing cannot come to you. Yes, if grace can locate you, there's nothing cannot come to you. So don't write yourself off. Can I say something to you? If grace like you, I say, "I'm coming to you," something has found you. It means you are no longer hidden. One short man called Zacchaeus. Everybody was thronging him. The man climbed up and was hanging on the tree. How did Jesus knew his name? Have they met before? So it means Jesus knew Zacchaeus who climbed the tree. And Jesus, after that meeting, he needs to go and eat in Zacchaeus' house. Was Zacchaeus praying to have Jesus in his house? He just wanted to see Jesus. You came here just to see Jesus. But salvation has entered into your house. There is grace for everything. If you can receive the grace of salvation, Jara grace will come. Small grace will come. I say you have grace. I see heaven open. I see supernatural power. The realm of the supernatural open upon you. As you have received power to go up. Receive power. When we come to God, we should not worry ourselves about provision. It's too much. One thing with provision is already settled it. Everything our provision is settled. It's to just wait for it to, you know, you have your provisions met. You are blessed today. The Lord has anointed you.
Yes.
Agba. Go boko so se ba kwa lagba. Agba. Iba swa sabata. Father blessing. Fat father blessing. Fat blessing. Fat agbalagba blessing. Agbalagba. It's for to raise men who are agbalagba, even in the spirit. Agbalagba. Egba. Receive it. Receive it. Receive even blessing from Jesus. Receive my blessing. Receive my blessing. Receive blessing. Receive blessing. Receive my blessing. I bless you. I bless you with the blessing of the Spirit. Even blessing of heavenly places. Blessing to make you heavenly. Blessing that makes a heavenly man. Heavenly blessing. Heaven. For your estate is changing. Your estate is changing. Yes, see it. Do not think like a carnal man anymore. Do not think yourself one of the earthly people anymore. For I have upgraded you. I have raised you up. I have linked you up. I'm linking you up even to your heavenly heritage. Even to your heavenly heritage. Receive the blessing, even the blessing of Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for opening yourself to us, sending your angel here. Thank you for ordaining here today for blessing. Thank you for the things you have said, the skill you sent, the help you gave. Thank you for helping me to teach. Thank you, Father. We give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.